Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers tailor-made by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this week's episode, the coach talks to us about the big game against Bethel this week. He tells us what's been the most enjoyable part of coaching this season. And is there another Carson Wentz somewhere out there in Division II or Division III football? Let's find out on TaylorMade.
So let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, let's first of all talk about team updates you have for us.
Team updates. This is our seniors going to be their last game in full pads and in a structured environment. You know, some of these guys will go back to their hometowns and play in some Thanksgiving Day games, but it won't be the same. So we want to. We've been preparing hard for Bethel and got two more days of preparation, and then we go up and play on Saturday. So,
well, let's talk about your thoughts from this last week against St. John's. What did you think about the performance of your team?
You know, obviously not up to the standard. St. John's is number six team in the country, probably going to move up a little bit. I mean, they were oiled up, ready to roll. You know, as far as us playing the game, you know, we did some things great at times. You know, we're 1 point is 7-6, and, you know, they got a touchdown 14-6, and we'd love to have went into the half with it being, you know, 21-6, but then the wheels just kind of fell off, and we snapped the ball over the head of the punter, and, you know, we give up a couple of deep balls after, so then it gets to 38-6, and we just didn't handle some of the normal football things that happened. We didn't handle it well, and we use it as teaching moments, and we got to continue to keep learning and growing from it. We got a lot of young guys on the field, and, you know, they can use this experience this year to help them in the future, which is Saturday, and the ultimate future next year. So, you know, we had some good things at times, but again, way too many things went wrong. And again, that's, at the end of the day, it's my job to fix it. So,
were there player performances for you this last weekend that really kind of stood out for you?
You know what? We evaluated the film a couple times, and we didn't feel like anybody was worthy of any kind of player of the games or anything. So, not a good day for the Pipers, but it happens.
Every once in a while, you have a bad day. We'll kind
sure.
of work out of it. This weekend, you close out the season with Bethel. I know you have a lot of respect for Coach Johnson and what he's doing there. So what are some of the keys that you looked at in playing them?
Coach Johnson, man, I got a lot of respect for him. You know, every time when I first got here, he would always pull me aside and just, you know, talk about his journey and his path of how Bethel got to where it is, where it's, you know, always competing and is naturally good. So I have a lot of respect for him to do that. He didn't have to do that and pull me aside and say, you know, Chip, keep chopping wood and keep your head down and things will get better. Some keys to the game, you know, it always starts with the ball. We have to do a good job of taking care of that football. We need to generate turnovers, and, you know, we cannot give up the big play. I mean, they got a kid up there, number nine, who's doing a really good job. I believe his last name is Mark Horton. He's a deep threat, man. He's caught a lot of deep balls on some people this year, so we can keep him bottled up. And they got another receiver up there, number three, who's doing a great job. So we can keep those guys bottled up. We have a chance. If we can, you know, just let Justice, you know, do what he can do, you know, I think we'll be okay. So,
this is the last game for your seniors, as you mentioned. So what are some of your hopes for them, and what are some of the memories that they've given to you specifically?
Yeah, I'd like for us to be able to send those guys out. You know, the overall record isn't what we want, but it would be great for those guys to go into the real world with a win for their last game, despite the record. So would love for those guys to get out with a win. Memories. Wow, man, these guys came in. So it would be my second year here as an assistant, and we recruited this class. And, you know, it's kind of cool to watch them go on and do good things. I know they'll do good things. So, you know, that'll be the biggest memory, of just kind of getting them as freshmen and now, you know, watching them progress. It's almost like you can see it flash through your eyes. It's like, holy smokes, this guy is a senior now, you know. So everybody has different memories, you know, with the guys. And I have probably a little bit more memories with the defensive guys, but even some of our offensive guys, like a Brandon Knottree. He's, you know, I played at Illinois State. He's down from the Peoria area, so I remember when we got him, and that was kind of cool to say, hey, this guy knows exactly what Redbird Land is about, you know. So, like, little memories like that always kind of stick out. So,
nice. Well, let's head to fan questions this week. We start with Lance, who says, Coach, what are the things that you've learned from this season that you look to implement?
Wow. Well, I tell you what, the biggest thing that I learned from the season, and I knew after the Bethel game last year that the team was going to change, you know, because obviously, naturally, kids graduate. And the thing that I learned is every team is different. You know, not to say that we approached last year the same, but there has to be an emphasis on, you know, not necessarily changing your culture, but just redefining your culture, you know. And that's almost like I talked to some people about it, you know, our program is like a garden. You know, you got, you know, sometimes you got to, not sometimes, when you're dealing with a garden, you got to weed that thing out sometimes. You got to plant, you got to water it. You got to make sure the sun is hitting at the right time. You got to sometimes, you know, the real plant people, they'll talk to their gardens, you know, so we just have to do a good job of getting back down on our hands and knees and really defining, you know, what we want this program to look like. So that's what my brain is, just after this Bethel game, my brain will just be working harder and harder to figure out how to get our guys in the best state of mind, and then, you know, how to train them the right way, and then, you know, get them ready for the 2018 season, because they'll be here before you know it. So biggest thing I learned is to, every team is different, and you got to really tweak each team to what it needs. So,
you know, I'm curious about that from you. Is this, I would assume, like, if I was at the University of Alabama as the head coach, or Notre Dame or something, I can have a system that I would run on offense or defense and pretty much stay solid to that because I can recruit whoever I wanted.
Sure.
I would assume you have to kind of reinvent schemes every year. Is that the case?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily not necessarily reinvent it, but you got to tweak it to what you have. And, you know, your players' abilities. So you have to really sit down in the offseason and say, okay, what were we good at? What can we do? What do I know? Or I shouldn't say I, but what do we know as coaches? You know, can we go out and communicate with some coaches over at the University of Minnesota or wherever, you know, and, you know, maybe learn a different scheme. But it really comes down to, you know, good football coach. It's not really about what I know as a coach. It's about what can I get those guys to execute out on the field on Saturdays. That's what it really comes down to. And we got to find out what they're good at and do what they can do, you know, call what they can run successfully. So it's a good question.
I would think then that coaching at this level requires you to be, I mean, and I know you're a modest guy and aren't really going to be patting yourself on the back for this, but you have to really be on the top of your game all the time because of the fact that what worked this year isn't necessarily going to work next year.
Correct. And what we did last year is funny, you know, with me taking over the role as a head coach, you know, I knew I wasn't going to have enough time to mess around with the defense. So we were very simple, but we had older guys. So we were able to just play a lot of base defense, a lot of man defense, and because we had guys that played in the back end for 4 years. We don't have those guys now. So, you know, we're trying to do what we were trying to do sometimes this year is do maybe too much, you know, and now those guys don't know what's going on back there and something bad happened. So it's, yeah, you have to really, you have to know your football team and you have to know your schemes well. And, you know, I mean, I guess I grew up watching University of Miami Hurricanes, who has a big game this week. They just played 4-3 defense cover two. No matter what anybody came out in, they played base defense. And I just always loved that because they could just sit in base defense and play. But, you know, you can't necessarily do that. You know, we couldn't do that because, you know, we just don't have the pieces yet to do it. So I'm learning, definitely learning.
Jake asks, he says, Coach, I hope this question does not come across as snarky because that is not the way I intended it. Do you feel that last year's team overachieved, this year's team underachieved, neither of those are true, or both are true?
I think neither of them are true. What I've, after a couple losses this year, you always kind of look back, well, what's different? We have the same quarterback, same skill kids. We lost a few kids on defense. The thing that's different from this year to last year that I feel like I put my finger on is, you know, it's the injuries. You know, you cannot predict injuries, man. We had a lot of guys go down. We stayed very, very, very healthy last year. So, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things. So I don't think it has anything to do with the achievement part. It's, you know, sometimes injuries are going to happen. You know, so,
Otis would like to know what have been some of the most enjoyable parts of this season for you.
I would say the camaraderie, you know, being able to go out and honestly practice. You know, we really, despite the record, I mean, we really came out and we've had some really, really good practices. You know, I can look back and think of just very few that's like, okay, walking off the field feeling not good. You know, walking off the field, guys are running around high energy, guys wanting to be there. You know, those are some of the memories that I'll remember from the 2017 season. And then obviously just, you know, the assistant coaches and, you know, dealing with the players, and you get a freshman who's homesick, but he sticks it out and you feel good about that. You know, it's just a lot of different memories from the 2017 season.
Brandon asks, he says, what is the pressure like on you to win at Hamlin? Are there expectations on how many games you're expected to win each season, and what is expected in terms of wins?
Wow, that's a two-part question there. I don't know. I mean, nobody's ever sat me down and said, hey, you know, this is what it is. This is what you need to do. You know, I like to think of it as we have a great administration here. You know, they want to win, which is important to me. So, the premium's already set there. You know, they want to win. You know, I put my own pressure on myself. And I don't need anybody to put pressure on me to win, and you better do this or you have to do it. I do it for myself. So I don't really get too caught up into, you know, how I feel about, you know, the season. You know, nobody's happy that we've won two games, you know, so I'll put as much pressure on myself in off season, and it's going to come down to recruiting. You got to recruit, you got to have players, and, you know, that's what our focus will be once, you know, once that gun goes off at about 4 o'clock on Saturday. You know, all attention and focus, you know, goes to recruiting, and then obviously our guys that'll be coming back. So, you know, it's pressure. It's pressure at every level. Pressure at Alabama, pressure if you're playing for the Vikings, pressure in high school, you know, so it's pressure everywhere, and it's good. It's good. People are too comfortable these days, man, and the difference between my profession and other professions is that people can come out and see our work on Saturdays, where if you mess something up in a bank, for the most part, your boss might know, and, you know, maybe another teller know, but when we mess something up out on that field, everybody has an opinion, everybody can write in, you know, so it's just a little bit different, but I enjoy it. I enjoy that kind of pressure, and it's part of the business. It comes with it. So,
Dennis would like to know, how much do you feel that the MIAC has improved overall this season?
Wow, I think it's improved a lot. I mean, with Coach Killian going down from St. Thomas to St. Olaf, I mean, those guys are playing inspired football. Augsburg's got a quarterback again. I mean, that kid's running around and throwing the ball around. I mean, St. Thomas, St. John's, they are what they are. Concordia is not falling off. You know, Bethel's going to be good. I mean, I just really, the league is good, man. Coach, even though Carlton's record is not probably obviously what they want it to be, but they're a juggernaut. I mean, you look at their records, and you look at the scores of their games, and they've been in games, you know, and they're closing the gap. So I think it's gotten, you know, Gustavus has a quarterback again, you know, so the league is very good. It's the best Division III league in the country, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm excited to be here and looking forward to see if we can't, you know, take a crack and a dent in this thing and keep chipping away. So,
our number one fan of the show returns back. Andre asks, 5 in a row for our Sixers. Man, I am loving how Ben Simmons is playing, and I think that he is really going to be something special.
My man, Andre, what's going on out there, man? I get excited every time I hear your name. I get excited because I know Philly fans through and through. Sixers are doing well. Again, like I said, man, Ben Simmons is the man. I just hope we can sustain it and just take it one game at a time. I am really hoping I can see those guys when they come out here December 12th, man. So, Andre, if I do, I'll definitely be we'll be pulling with spirits. But, yeah, they're doing good, and hopefully they can continue to keep rolling. So,
you're going to be a guy holding up a big banner during the game?
No, I'll be very discreet as usual.
Andre also says, 51 against that Denver defense. I know I need to remain calm, but this is a Super Bowl team.
Andre, you have no idea how many people from South Jersey and Philadelphia have called and said if they make it, they're staying at my house. So I understand we might have some room on the couch for you, Andre. But, you know, we guys, again, right with the Sixers, one game at a time. And hopefully they can make it. That would be awesome if they can make it to the Super Bowl and not just make it, but win it. That would be really cool.
Coach Taylor's B&B for that weekend.
Right.
Chris asks, he says, don't you think that the way that Carson Wentz is playing should open the door to NFL teams looking more at Division II, and maybe even Division III quarterbacks?
Carson is doing a great job. Yep, he's come from the same league that I played out of at Illinois State, North Dakota State. They actually played in the national championship a couple years back. You know what? You know, the NFL is a tough league. You know, when you start, and they want to know, in my opinion, you know, the competition you're playing against. You know, so that's where it really comes down to for a guy to come out of a 1AA FCS, where Carson Wentz came out of Division II, Division III. So the problem, the challenge is being able to dominate at that level. And he did. He dominated at the FCS level, and he's doing well now. There's been guys that came out of Division II. There's been guys that come out of Division III that dominate at that level and do well in the NFL. So, you know, for a quarterback to come out of Division III, think about, you know, what he has to put on tape and, you know, how efficient he needs to be. It's not impossible. I'm sure the NFL scouts, they do scour, you know, Division I and 1AA, Division II and Division III, but it's just very tough to play. It's tough to play quarterback at this level in this league, you know. So think about how hard it would be to play quarterback in the NFL, man. That's not an easy task. So I'm sure they look, but I mean, I don't know too many Division III quarterbacks that's you know, played in the NFL. I'm sure they have, but I can't think of any to come off the top of my head. So,
and why is it good to be a Fighting Piper?
It is good to be a Fighting Piper. We have our seniors get a chance to play their last game of their careers. you know, so that's a big deal. You know, it's not at home, but it is their last game. So we have to be very sensitive to that and just, you know, really, really, really work hard today in meetings and film study to do a great job for those guys. And let's give these guys an opportunity to, you know, to go out and feel good about moving on with their careers, making walk in and say, man, I won my last college game, because there's a lot of people who lose their last college game. Fortunately, I was a guy that won my last college game. I did not want to lose my last college football game as a player. So I want to make sure that they have that experience. So that's why it's great to be a Piper.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
All right. Catch you next time. Thank you.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamline University coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.